Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Israel, the Most High, our power is one. Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our God is one. He's coming for his presence. Singing, thanksgiving, sound of shofar. This is the day that he has made. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So be it. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and grace. Thank you that you watch over us. Thank you for the brothers and sisters of mine, my mishpacha, my family throughout the four corners of the earth that are keeping this holy day, the Sabbath. Bless them, increase them, strengthen them. Give them the strength to go a little bit further in this walk. Thank you that you're working for us on our behalf and you're watching us, and that the saints, and angels, so many that have gone before us, we're so compassed with so great a cloud of witness. We thank you for these witnesses, and we endeavor, strive to be where you are and be on the right side of the line when you return. Bless the prophets that prophesy today and preach, that they'll preach the truth, that it will come forth, that it will fall on good ground, and that somebody will come into this truth, walk away from paganism, this world, and the lies. Heal our bodies in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, because we love you more than you know, because we realize you are our source, and you've been better to us than we can be to ourselves through the years, just like David said. Once was young, I am now old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. Father, I thank you that you don't leave us. You don't leave us, Daddy. Abba, Father, thank you that you're good to us. We receive of the blessings you have for us today, and we shine on your behalf in the kingdom of heaven as Zion. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, family. Welcome to Blueprint for Life here on Blog Talk Radio. I am B. Torah, and you are tuned into Blueprint for Life, brought to you by Almhoida at Last Ministries, House of Israel Deliverance Assembly, a gathering of the Northern California family, and that's what we'll be doing today. However, this particular broadcast is brought to you to help you strengthen your Sabbath walk, your walk of truth, your walk in the faith. We focus on the statutes, laws, and commandments that were never done away with, that only the foolish tell you have been done away with. They have never been done away with. For you to tell me that was written by the finger of Yah would come to a place where he's like, you don't have to worry about what I gave you once before. Just do what you want to do and know that you got grace. Sadly mistaken. Those are the lies that we come against and we disprove. That's what our mission is, and to help you to understand the blessings that are lined up for those that keep the commandments that people say we can't do that, or you don't have to do that. No, you do, and you can, and we will, because these commandments have been real good to our lives, our health, and we find ourselves content with what we have. Acts 13 and 15, you would find, it's over 86 times in the New Testament you see the disciples keeping the Sabbath. Acts 13 and 15 tells us of how they went to the synagogue to hear the reading of the law. And after the reading of the law, there'd be exhortation and preaching, but every Sabbath, the entire town would shut down. Not Sunday. Every Sabbath, everywhere, the Church of Antioch, Church of Philadelphia, Church of Ephesus, Church of Corinth, everywhere, Saturday, shut it down. It wasn't until your Catholic Church came along and said, we're going to prove that we're the head and that our Pope is the vicar of Christ, meaning the replacement of Christ, and we're going to change the Sabbath day to Sunday in honor of worshiping the sun god, Ra. And we're here to disprove that, dispel that, and bring you back to the right day, the right understanding of the scriptures, which is really a Hebrew history book, our Torah, because our ultimate goal is to restore the cultural identity of the Hebrew black man, one asleep mind at a time. And that's what we strive and endeavor to do. That's what we shall do. So I'm not going to be before you long today. We're going to have a little bit different of a lesson until we can get a handle on how we're going to go forward doing things, because moving forward, we will be, we have opened up our Sabbath class, our Hebrew school, on Saturdays down in at the Kaiser Center in Oakland. We will be having a grand opening in a couple of months, but for now, if you do want to gather, you can hit us up in Messenger here on Facebook at the Preacher Space Tama Torah and message us, Or you can email us as well, because you have to get in by invite, but it's a lovely facility. All praises to the Most High for blessing us with that. And we're there every Shabbat at 1 p.m. Therefore, I will either continue at 10 a.m. here in studio doing the lesson and then go to the class, or we'll probably move the broadcast down there as well. But contact us if you'd like to come to the Hebrew school, because the scriptures told us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, and even more so as we see the day approaching, and that's our endeavor. With that being said, is there anything else I should add to that? Okay. So with that being said, let me, first of all, before I turn it over to Sister Tama, I want to say Shabbat Shalom to Deacon Abiram. How you doing, Deke?
Oh, Shalom. I'm doing just fine. I'm always happy to get to these blessed Shabbats, you know, just to honor the Most High and thank Him for looking
yes,
out care of us throughout the week and throughout all times. I just feel so blessed that He has tapped me on the shoulder and wakened me, because the Most High is not waking everyone.
I guess no, He's not.
The ones He knows are going to be truthful to Him and really into this word and believing in HaMashiach. I mean, I thank the Most High for sending the HaMashiach. I mean, it's otherwise that we would have no hope if He had not done that. But I just want to say hi and bless the brothers and sisters out there that I enjoy that are with us this morning.
Okay, Deacon Abiram says hi. So, Abiram, let me ask you a question, and take a look at, over your life real quick. Since you've been walking in this truth, have you noticed any changes in your life, physically, spiritually, financially, anything that you can tell the people about?
Definitely physically and spiritually, because you know, like I was telling you, I was trying to get off of eating sweets all the time, and the Most High helped me with that. And so physically I'm feeling better. Spiritually I'm feeling better in my soul, because I know that I'm doing what the Most High wants. And so I'm mm-hmm. feeling better in the financial mm-hmm. thing coming along too. So no, I just know there's a difference. I notice a difference. And I thank the Most High for the difference.
All praises to the Most High. All praises. And that's what I was kind of, me and Sister were just sitting up here talking about that today. She keeps asking me, what is the lesson on? I keep telling her I got so many things I want to talk about, because for one, Abiram, is I didn't do Straight No Chaser, so I got all that in me too. And we didn't get a chance to do Inspirational Wednesday, so we got all that in us. But I'm looking forward to the fellowship today. But we were talking about the blessings of keeping the commandments, and it's kind of a theme of mine. So I'll probably allude to that, because we kind of skip right over what we're entitled to now that we're making this sacrifice. This is a sacrifice. We've given up a lot of things, and we don't miss them.
Yeah.
And
you know, I just thank the Most High. I delight in the fact that, you know, I'm aware of the commandments. I always knew them. I was aware of them before, but now I'm practicing them. And I feel so blessed that I am doing that. I mean, it's a great feeling inside of me.
All praises to the Most High. And, yeah, us as well, and so many others. And so as it pertains to grace, well, I'm not a I'm appreciative of grace. I'll say that first and foremost. But at the same time, the only grace I'm super excited about is the grace He had on me to let me come into the knowledge of the truth. He didn't have to do that. Like you said a few minutes ago, you know, many are called, only a few are chosen.
Well, Brother V, especially for you, because, you know, your dad was a pastor, and you grew up in that, and so you know that hold that it had on you for you to be open minded, and the Most High taps you on your shoulder, you know, he had to bring you out of there. I mean, it's just wonderful to think about that you grew up in that, and you were still able to hear the Most High when he came to you to wake you up.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you realize that he has a different plan for your life. And you know what? You cannot orchestrate your own life. When he said that all things work together for the good of them that love him, he's like, don't worry. This was all a part of my plan. So there was some valleys and mountains and peaks in my life, some downtime, some bad times, but he had to take me through all that just to get me right here. It was part of the process. And I will say, some of the things we do bring on ourselves because we make bad choices and decisions, but I can't necessarily call them bad choices and decisions when I understand Romans, the 8th chapter, that he has a preset, predestined plan for our lives. So when we're talking about the Most High Yah, we're talking about someone who knows what decision you're going to make before you even make it.
Exactly.
All praise.
You know, and it's just, you know, what's really wonderful to see and blessed to see is all these Hebrews that the Most High is waking up, because it said that we would be awakened in our captivity. And that's what's
right.
Happening. People are being, we're in our captivity, and people are being awakened on a daily basis. It's just,
yes.
You know, it's glorious to see.
Yes. Okay, well, with that being said, we're saying some good stuff, getting into the lesson, and I'm excited of seeing you and the other brothers so we can plot and plan and get into the lesson, and we'll be coming to you live on Facebook Live or YouTube Live while we're down there at our Hebrew School of Learning. And so Abiram said he wanted to become a deacon of 10,000, so we may work on that.
No, it's a captain of 10,000.
You want to be a captain, huh?
Yeah, you know, all these names that some of these camps give themselves, you know, to exalt themselves. And what does it say? Those who exalt themselves will be made low in the kingdom. It says so. You know, come to the Most High humbly.
Humbly. That's what we have to do. Okay, Sister Tamaz here with us as well. So I'm going to turn it over to Sister Tamaz. She's going to get into the herb of the day, health and wholeness segment. We're going to move into that.
All right. Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters. Shabbat shalom, Deacon Abraham.
Shabbat shalom, Sister Tamaz.
All praises to the Most High. Another Sabbath. I'm so glad to join you. It's been a long week, but all praises. We made it. I'm back home safely. Glad to be back away from the heathen.
Yeah.
Glad to go, but it's definitely I was looking forward to it the entire time I was gone. So all praises. So today, while I was with the heathens, let's say this, they had a luncheon for us, and one of the vegetables that they had was fennel. And so as we sat around the table, one of the young ladies, they thought it was an onion. because it was kind of, I guess they sauteed it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, and so one asked, is this a fennel? And I said, yes. And so they were trying to figure out the benefits of fennel, you know, whether health benefits or what is this used for. And one of the ladies, she did say, you know, I see fennel as something that I eat after my meal to clean out my palate. And it does have that effect. You eat something, you'll eat that fennel, and it cleans out your palate. Because one health benefit is fresh breath, right? And so we went on. And so as this morning, as I was thinking of what should I bring about, I did wanted to bring out fennel because it's really good fennel seed if you can't get the actual vegetable fennel. But it has vitamin C. It has vitamin A. It has potassium. It has magnesium. And it has calcium. But the true benefits of it, again, it eliminates bad breath. It eases and regulates the woman's time of the month, the menstruation. It inhibits growth of cancerous tumors, so it decreases the growth of cancerous tumors. It boosts your immunity and treats anemia. It increases the brain function and your cognitive ability. It's good for our digestive issues, and it relieves constipation. It helps with the cholesterol levels, and it reduces blood pressure. It goes on to state that it, again, it helps against the harmful radiation treatment during cancer. So if you are currently doing radiation for cancer, fennel will help protect against the harmful, you know, effects that it has on your body as it tries to rejuvenate and restore. So that's really good. It also prevents premature aging and degenerative issues. So this item that sometimes when we're in the grocery store, we bypass it and like, what am I going to do with that? What can I use with that? I just told you the benefits that it has. So you need to incorporate that into your vegetables. As Hebrews and Shebrews, the Kotis, we need to broaden our horizons in these different fruits and vegetables and herbs because they're actually good for us. Not only just grilling it, sauteing it, fennel is also good in soups. A good potato soup in the wintertime, fennel is good. There's a lot of bean soups that you can use that fennel will help and bring that unique flavor. So I just want to encourage you when we're going into grocery stores, when we're getting fruits, when we're getting vegetables, just to have an open mind. One thing I tried was I love beets now, thanks to Brother V, but there was an orange beet that they had, and it was amazing. So let's not be afraid of colors because the brighter the colors are, right, the healthier they will be for us to digest and eat on. So I just wanted to bring that out. Deacon Abiram, did you want to add or have something to ask about that?
You must be reading my mind because, you know, I can't get with them beets. like I said, you just try to open my mind. It reminds me of when I was small and we were celebrating the pagan holiday, Thanksgiving,
yep.
And I saw these slices cut. They're red. I thought they were what do you call it? What's that sauce we have on there? The little red one?
Red tomato?
You know, yeah, they have it on Thanksgiving a lot. Cranberry sauce. That's what I thought it was. And so I grabbed a bunch of it, and then I've been into it. It's a little cranberry. And ever since then, I've not been a beet person. But I've never seen any orange beets.
Right, and they are amazing. I just think, Brother Abiram, you haven't had it prepared in a way that it will intrigue you to want to eat them because they're actually good for you. So, Brother V and I, we're coming up with something new that we're going to try on Facebook. To try to show our brothers and sisters on how to prepare these things and utilize these things that we bring out in our herbal segment. So we've been working on that. That was an idea we dropped, but I'm going to pick it back up so we can do that and just encourage our brothers and sisters on, you know, just how to prepare things because we can bring all the herbs, we can bring all the vegetables and fruits out, but if they're not prepared properly, they're not going to encourage you to go out and buy more and digest them for the healing of your body. Don't you agree, hon?
I just think when it comes to medicine, you throw taste out the window.
That's true. That's true. Because Deacon Abiram, if they say you need to eat beets to save your life, you and them beets going to be friends. You're going to eat them. So,
I don't know. Can I throw taste out the window if the window closed?
And, you know, I just want to say that, you know, we talk about this stuff because I'm amazed at what she read in fennel. All the things that it does. And I'm really amazed that food from the earth that the Most High has given us, Yah, is really loaded with everything we need to heal.
Regenerate. Right.
Restart our bodies. And society has tried to get us into fast food.
Right.
Packaged food.
Right.
Created food.
Right.
And they're creating GMOs because that's that last ditch effort. So we do this as ministry, as a line of defense for you. We can't keep running to the hospital and praying for everybody because you don't want to eat right. Most High said you're going to take up some of the responsibility yourself. And guess where it starts? At the shopping, your garden, and in your kitchen.
Right.
So this is real stuff.
Right. And you have to pull back. I mean, like you said, they brought us the fast food junk. You know, something quick for mothers that are on the run. I mean, you think about how they institute everything. They're breaking up the black and brown home, right? And so then they're giving mom the responsibility, removing the man, whether he's, you know, with someone else or in the jail system, whatever the case may be. So she's trying to do all these different, hold all these different hats. So cooking becomes last. So after you run the kids to practice, to school, pick them up, do the laundry, you're burnt. So what's the next best thing? Let's go to Burger King. Let's cook some hamburger heifer. Let's do something really quick so I can get some rest and I can put these kids to sleep. And so we have to pull back from that, take time, prepare meals, spend that time, balance our days out and do more. And I know this is more for the heart of a Hebrew woman, but I wanted to talk about this as far as, you know, our foods and what we digest. So that's why this segment, like you said, it's a ministry. It's so important to us because we want to encourage our people to eat healthy and stay out of these hospitals, these doctor's office. Get your checkup, find out what's wrong, and then do the research. Uh-huh. Don't take our word for it. Do the research. Find out what the Most High has given us. Listen to His voice. He said, "My sheep hear My voice." So listen to His voice. He'll tell you exactly what to use, how much, and when to take it. And that's how we have to live, by faith, right?
Yeah. Brother Abraham. Also, those beets, I'm going to testify to everybody out there, they're terrible. You're right. Because when I juice them and I drink them, I have to sit down. Shuts me down.
You're right.
Because you know what these beets do? They're blood purifiers.
Right.
And as soon as you drink it, it goes to work.
Right.
Can you imagine all the toxins in your blood? It might be fighting some cancer I'm
right.
fighting against, diabetes
right.
I'm fighting against, but the beets go to work. That's why when you go to use the restroom, number one or two, it's going to come out red. Everything's going to be red because the beet juice will, it's going to like go throughout your entire body
right.
and begin to fight against all these pathogens and these bad dead cells and diseases and sicknesses.
Right.
And we do charcoal that does that as well, but I only like to do it maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks because it's potent.
Right. I mean, we hadn't did it in quite some time. I mean, we're still eating good. And so this week my husband was like, well, let's juice. Because we got some beets and juice. And I'm telling you, I drank it before I went to work. And I kept saying, babe, my stomach hurt. But it was because it was moving. It was working. It was cleaning. And it took a while for me to feel back, you know, okay, but very refreshed. Right? It gives you energy. You feel so much better once all that crap has been removed out of your body. So, that's our segment.
Yeah.
Hold on. Go ahead, Brother Deacon Avaron. Go ahead.
I see Phil Howell Velvet Voice talked you into that or whatnot. You got me thinking about I need to get on the beach now or whatnot.
Gotta get
but,
on.
The funny thing is, too, you know, the country, the government's always talking about, you know, healthy family. Let's have a good family. You know, they're talking about we need to, the family needs to be intact. We need to do this for the family. But they're doing everything that they can do to break up the family, you know, with having to have two wage earners now as opposed to one. You know, and just like you mentioned, the whole thing about the fast food, and everything, they're doing everything they can to break up
right.
the family, and particularly, like you said, the black family.
Right. So we just have to be encouraged. We got to be able to come together like glue and stick with each other and grow in this truth, grow in our understanding. You know, as we scroll through Facebook, as we have different friends that are in the truth, that are not in the truth, that are looking, you know, what I notice is there's a lot of graduations going on, whether it's high school, college, elementary, whatever the case may be. But, you know, that's just man's way of getting you to where they want you to be. But now that you've graduated out of his plan in first sense in school, start incorporating this Bible a little bit more, trying to get some of that negativity and that ignorance that they've placed into you. Not all, because you do need math, science, and things like that. But you need this word. And so we need to encourage our young people that are coming out into this world to incorporate this Bible more, because you're going to need that more than you need anything else that they've put into you these past 12 years. So I just wanted to say that. But before I turn it back over, well, I turn it over to Deacon Avaron for reading the law, here is the bad segment. This is the part where it's no fun, because I'm bringing out things that are clean and unclean. And so the past couple of weeks, we've talked about beverages, we've talked about candies, pastries, we've talked about drinks, meats, things like that. So now I'm going to talk about your frozen entrees. The frozen entrees are never good because, for the most part, they have too many ingredients and a lot of things are being hidden. So I'm going to start with the meats and the frozen entrees.
And these are clean things and unclean things according to Levitical law.
Right.
Of what we're supposed to be conforming to and adhering to. That's what we're going through because she's been covering this the last couple of weeks because we don't know how they're slipping pork and shellfish into our foods to indirectly taint us and mess with our, you know, DNA, our structure, and our spirituality.
And that's why some of, whether ladies or men, you have this bloating in your stomach. You've got this pudge. Well, it's because you're thinking I'm eating chicken sausage, but in all actuality, you're eating pork. Because the casing is pork, so you're not really getting the benefits. But you think you're eating healthy because you see a nice piece of, you know, turkey, turkey sausage or turkey, and I'm telling you, they're sneaking it in. So we're going to talk about that really quick. I'll go through the items. So the lunch meats, all pork processing. Your breakfast sausages, like your maple bacon, your regular sausage, Jimmy Dean, we know that that's all pork. Your pizza kit by Chef Boyardee, it's a cheese pizza kit, pork. You have all your banquet meals. Let me go through those. The Butterball skinless beef hot dogs, pork casing. Butterball turkey hot dogs, pork casing. The Kenwood pot pies, lard, right? Your Marie Callender's pot pies, those are gelatin and pork. Your fresh turkey bratwurst, pork. Sweet Italian turkey sausage, pork. You got your Eckrich farm, right? Your smoked beef sausage, pork. Your turkey sausage, pork. Your freschetta cheese pizza, duck hair. Duck and human hair.
Duck and human hair.
Right.
And in the pizza.
In the pizza, the dough. The dough. That's what they're making it with. The what is it? Tantoni's pizza rolls, pork. Deep dish cheese pizza that are frozen, duck hair. Your spam and your oven turkey spam, pork. Jenny Old's sausage links, that's pork.
Uh-oh.
Johnsonville, right? So we know all the fish, the shrimp, the chicken, all the Johnsonville products, all have pork contamination. Long John Silver's, your sandwiches, all have pork in them. Your Stouffer's by Nestle, your noodles, pork. Stouffer's meals with cheese, pork. Stouffer's all other meals, they're saying pork.
See, what I like is that, I know you got some more, I want you to
right,
finish.
Right,
see, people think they're eating healthy.
Right.
Because I'm eating a turkey sausage and I ate a salad, which we know the lettuce is killing people now.
Right.
And they can't lose the weight, they can't get healthy, and they're not keeping the Hebrew diet.
Right.
Because they're sneaking this stuff into what you think is healthy.
And it's not.
I feel so bad when I see a heavyset person at Subway having a diet soda and a 6-12-inch sub, thinking like I'm trying to lose weight,
and
it's just loaded with more
sugar
crap.
And crap and everything. Yeah. So let's keep going because I don't want to be here long. So your Oscar Mayer Lunchables, the cheese, and it also has pork in it. Your pizza minis, pork. All Red Baron pieces all have pork processing eaten. Your Scott Peterson deli roast beef has pork. Your Tony's pizza, all varieties. They have that derivative of a human hair and duck. Trader Joe's mold sausage contains pork casing. That's Trader Joe's. Your Tyson, your turkey bacon, it has pork. Your Vienna beef sausages, that has pork. Your Swanson pot pies, all varieties, all of those have lard and pork. You have your Great Start breakfast entrees, pork. Swanson frozen entree meals, it has pork in it. Your White Castle frozen hamburgers and cheeseburgers, the buns, they have that derivative of the human hair and the duck. And I'm just going to stop right there with that because that's enough for today. There's more to go. We'll go into the pastas, the red sauces, and the soups, and then we'll get into the restaurants. So I'm gonna save that bit because I know I've given you a lot to chew on and spit out. Because this here, they are on it. They are hiding these ingredients. And so I'm sorry I'm the bearer of bad news, but we got to be cognizant of what we eat because we're thinking we're following the dietary laws, and we're not.
Well, see, I'm trying to hear all these little hidden things because I still fight some things from time to time like others do, and we're wondering, like, why are we getting it? We're eating right. We're doing better.
No.
Why does that keep coming around? Because right. there's stuff that's being hidden
correct.
In plain sight in your
correct.
Food.
Correct, correct, correct. So that's going to be it for today. Tune in, Most High willing, next week. I'm going to bring out some more. But, you know, over the past couple of weeks, if you missed, especially we talked about Enfamil, those things for the babies. They have pork in them. They have things that are not clean for our babies. So that's why it's important to breastfeed if you can. Eat good and breastfeed. So I wanted to bring that out. I know Deacon Abraham is quiet over there.
No, I am.
He's quiet over there. But, you know, I have to bring it out because the more we know, the more we can grow into this truth, the better we can take care of our bodies through fasting and praying and pulling back from the things that are unclean. So with that said, I'm going to get into our announcements, and then we'll turn it over to Deacon Abraham. On Tuesdays, Most High willing, we have the Heart of a Hebrew Woman. We're finishing up the Proverbs 31 woman. We're going to start talking about the wisdom that she had as a woman and how we can utilize that to be that Titus II woman in our communities, in our homes, when we're out in the street. It's all about us using wisdom. Definitely thinking before we speak, not allowing anger to take hold and destroy what the Most High is trying to build into our women. So we're going to talk about that. On Wednesdays, Most High willing, we have Inspirational Wednesday. Deacon Abraham, Brother V, will bring that out Thursday and Friday. I'm going to keep saying this, straight no chaser. One of these days it'll come. Most High willing, he'll bring that out. And then, again, we'll be back here on the airways next week, Most High willing, at 10 a.m. to talk about Sabbath lesson, reading of the law. Today we will be meeting in Oakland, like Elder V said. It's just the startup of our new school. And so we're going to come together, our brothers and sisters, and we're going to sit down, we're going to do a tour, and we're just going to talk about how we're going to establish this school and how it's going to look. Because we are encouraged here in the Bay Area to bring something that a lot of our people are getting them out of that poisoning mindset and bringing them to the light of the truth. So Most High willing, we will be praying over this place and just allowing the Most High to build and fill it the way he wants it to see and grow as we take ourselves out and just work as he has called us to do.
All right.
That's it. Listen to mom.
That the law has done away with. You just rest and chill with the Most High, cause the Father knows who's here. So you tell them we're chilling on the Sabbath.
All right, not going to waste much more time. I'm going to turn it over to Deacon Abraham for the reading of the law.
Okay, Brother V, Sister Tamar, thank you, I guess, for that. you burst a lot of bubbles there, but you know how it is. You've been bubble burst in the last couple of weeks. but it's good that we know these things. Because they're trying to pull all kind of little stuff on us as far as, you know, sneaking that stuff into our diet.
Right.
You know, because now that we're awakened to the effect that we shouldn't be eating that stuff, like, so they figure, okay, we're going to have to sneak it into them. And that's what they do. So I appreciate the knowledge you're bringing.
And that's right. Before you go into the law, they're sneaking it in also to keep the pharmaceutical industry strong.
Right.
Keep it strong.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they know what will keep us sick. They
right.
know
right.
what will keep us in the hospital
right.
going to the white coat.
Right.
So, yeah, I totally agree. They're sneaking it in.
Okay, let's get on to the reading of the law. We're going to Deuteronomy 9. Chapter 9 in Deuteronomy. Get your chance to get there, whatnot. We're going to go through Brother V, if we have time, we're going to do the whole chapter.
Okay, let's go for it.
Okay. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go and to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. So that was quite a daunting task that they were going to have to, that they were going into, but it all came down to trust in the Most High. You trust in the Most High, those tall fences don't look so tall. Verse 2, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Verse 3, understand therefore this day that the Most High, thy Elohim, is he which goeth over before thee. See, the Most High is out there in front of you. So, you know, who can be afraid? Why be afraid if the Most High is out in front of you, if he be for you? Okay, let me start over again. Lord, thy Elohim is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Most High has said unto thee. See, a lot of times when they went in, the Most High had fought the battle for them already. You know, turning the enemy against each other. And all we had to do, all our requirement was to trust and believe in him. Verse 4, speak not thou in thine heart, after that the Most High thy Elohim hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Most High hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess this land, but for the wickedness of these nations of the Most High, thy Elohim, that drive them out before thee, from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Most High swore unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he say right here that, you know, he didn't, not that we were righteous, because, you know, we weren't, but that the people there were so wicked, because people will say, well, how can the Most High have you kill women, children? Those people were wicked. They were totally wicked.
Right.
And that's
right.
Why the Most High dealt with them.
Mm-hmm.
Understand, therefore, verse 6, that the Most High, thy Elohim, giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art stiff-necked people. Is he talking about us, Brother V? Is he talking about
man,
the Hebrews?
He is definitely talking about your cousins.
Mm. Okay, verse 7. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Most High, thy Elohim, to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came into this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Most High. I'm telling you, the Most High is so long-suffering and grateful. See, they were rebelling against him as they were leaving out of Egypt, all during the wilderness or whatnot, but he stuck with us.
Hold on. Deacon Abiram, hold on. We have a caller. I haven't seen this number in a while. Let me see who this might be. I don't know. It's 925-381. It looks familiar. Caller, go ahead.
Shabbat shalom.
Shalom, Brother Tayari. I'm just stuck with you.
Shabbat shalom, Brother Tayari.
Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Sister Tamar.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, brother. I'm messing with you, man. I know. He said, hey, man, leave it that long.
How's everyone doing?
I know we're going to see you down in Oakland today. I just wanted to bring you in while Deke was reading the law, okay?
All right.
So your line is.
Okay. Verse 8. Also in Horeb, which is Sinai, we provoke the Most High to wrath, so that the Most High was angry with you to have destroyed you. I mean, as we go through this, you'll see all the times they just keep provoking the Most High. How do you provoke, you know, an entity with this type of power, this type of glory? How do you decide you're going to, you know, provoke him? I mean, I don't understand it. Verse 9, when I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Most High made with you, that I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights, I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And you know, I was reading this. I didn't read because we know HaMashiach fasted 40 days before that, but I didn't know Moses had done that.
That's right, and that seems to be the serious number right there, 40 days and 40 nights. If you want to really move the Most High, but yeah, it's amazing he did that to turn back the wrath of the Most High in destroying his people. He was pleading with it.
Exactly. Okay, let's see. Verse 10. And the Most High delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of Yah. And on them was written according to all the words which the Most High spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly.
So is verse it 11. To be said that if we go on a longer... See, he was fasting while he was in the presence of the Most High and before coming into the presence. And that's something just to consider. A great leader like Moses, and he knew where he was at. He didn't have no time for food. Let's not forget that when he came off that mountain. Yeah, he came off that mountain. The Lord was shining all off of him that the people begged him to cover his face. And I think the reason I stopped you when you in verse 10 is because when I see this verse about the commandments written with the finger of Yah, I get pissed at some religious pseudo-Christian telling me the commandments are done away with. So you're going to tell me the very part of the Hebrew history book written by the finger of the Most High is thrown away? I get ticked off.
I mean, you're going to sit there and tell the Most High, oh, yeah, we don't need those no more. You know,
right,
who are you?
Right. I'd rather listen to Paul.
Who the heck are you? So, okay, verse 11. And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights that the Most High gave me the two tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Most High said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. I mean, Most High had to say, Moses, get on down there because your people are acting a fool. And so he had to get him down there because they forgot that quickly how they were rescued out of Egypt. They forgot that quickly. They wanted another. I mean, they knew. They saw it was the Most High that brought them out of there, but they want to make some molten calf to say that's who brought them out of Egypt. I mean, like I said, our ancestors truly were stiff neck.
Stiff neck, hard head.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Verse 13. Furthermore, the Most High spake unto me, saying, I had seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff necked people. 14. Let me alone, that I may destroy them, and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than thee. And this is where, you know, Moses interceded for the people. Moses was a great leader. He interceded because the Most High was saying, we'll get rid of all these people and we'll start a whole new nation. But Moses pleaded for his people. 15, so I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. 16, and I looked, behold, ye had sinned against the Most High, your Elohim, made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Most High had commanded you. Verse 17, and I took the two tablets and cast them out of my hands and break them before the eyes. See, these people really tested Moses. I mean, it caused him not to go over Jordan. They were just testing him every time he turned around dealing with these hard-headed, stiff-necked people. Verse 18, and I fell down before the Most High as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't need to eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins, which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Most High to provoke him to anger. And you imagine the Most High was right there. You know, he's up in the mouth, and they're going to sin right in his face.
19.
For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Most High was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Most High hearkened unto me at that time also. I mean, we spoke about this or talked about this early on, how Moses interceded for the people and pretty much debated with the Most High why he shouldn't destroy his people. Verse 20. And the Most High was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him.
And most people don't know this either, that he wanted to kill Aaron as well. And so he had to pray separately for Aaron, the high priest.
Well, yeah, I mean, Aaron, who had been with Moses all along when they, you know, when they confronted Pharaoh as it came out, and Moses went up to the mountain, figured, you know, okay, Aaron's going to take care of things, keep things together down there, and he let the people bully him, and next thing you know, he's helping them make some molten calf. He should know better.
Yeah.
Verse 21. And I took your sin, the calf which ye had made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust. And I cast the dust, therefore, into the brook that descended out of the mount. 22. And at Taberah, and at Massa, and, I mean, let me get this one. Kibroth Hattaavah. That's a long word. He provoked the Most High to wrath. See, they're continually provoking the Most High. These people are stiff-necked, and they got a lot of nerve to be able to do something like this, to keep provoking such a power. Verse 23. Likewise, when the Most High sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then ye rebelled against the commandment of the Most High your Elohim, and ye believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. 24. Mm-hmm. Ye have been rebellious against the Most High from the day that I knew you.
Mm.
25. Thus I fell down before the Most High 40 days and 40 nights as I fell down at the first, because the Most High said he would destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
26, I prayed therefore unto the Most High and said, O Most High Elohim, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of the Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember thy servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to the wickedness, nor to their sins. See, Moses invoked the names of our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because the Most High made a covenant with them. And the Most High doesn't break covenant. And Moses just reminded, 28, lest the land whence ye brought us out, say, because the Most High was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he had brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. And this is Moses talking or dealing with the Most High. What are they going to think when they see you brought the people out here, you just destroyed them? Verse 29. Yet they are thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest out by this mighty power and by thy stretched out arm. See, we're his people. We're his inheritance. I mean, that's so glorious. And we're so blessed because of that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, two-thirds and don't know that. They don't know how much we're blessed.
Right.
And that is the reading of the law.
All praises to the Most High.
All praises to the Most High.
That's a pretty good chapter there, brother. I remember we went over this a while back ago, and we talked about how Moses actually, because if you go up a few verses, the Most High told Moses, leave me alone so I can go deal with these people. He was like, you know, let me alone. Stop pleading with me not to destroy them. Stop fasting and praying. I'm not trying to hear all that. I'm about to destroy them. I'll make you a great nation. But he continued to plead. And I think that's something that we can learn from that, because in Isaiah it tells us to put him in remembrance. So our key to praying is to pray the scriptures back to the Father. That's why he says he watches over his word to perform it. So when we pray, we don't get into the prayers of Matthew's the sixth chapter, you know, holding hands in circles out in public so everybody can see us, get in the war, told us to go in our closet. He said no vain repetitions, Jesus, 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 thank you. No, he said, no, read this word, know the word, put me in remembrance of my word, and talk to me from your heart and out of the abundance of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I get from that story. It's a great story that we need to put the Most High in remembrance of his promises at all times. And that makes me, I want to segue into something else from there, but I want to see, Akhtiar, you want, got something you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I just think about how the Most High, he always go back and say, man, because I made my promise to Abraham. You see, he've always said that. He said, I've been wanting to do away with you for a long time because you rebelled against me. But because I made my promise to Abraham, my covenant, I am going to uphold my part of the covenant with family, with your forefather Abraham. And I think that's very important for an Israelite today to understand that. The reason why that we're still here as a people is because of that covenant and the promise that he made with Abraham. And because in verse 29, he says it again, yet they are thy people and thy inheritance. You see, so we're his inheritance, and he made that promise with Abraham. And so I think it's very important that we understand that concept, that that's the reason why we're still here today.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, the Most High, I mean, as far as, you know, Hebrews, the Most High is God, he ain't going to break his covenant with us, yeah, but you're going to be punished for you breaking that covenant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to be able to do that and get away with it. You know, the Most High chastises his children or his people.
Yeah, Isaiah 43:26 is the scripture I'm in reference to. I want to give to the people, just so you know it, so you don't think I'm making that up. And it says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together and declare thou that thy mayest be justified. But it's a matter of, like you said, it's important to put him in remembrance, but also at the bottom, at the end of the day, like my ox said, you know, he remembered that he cannot tell a lie, and Moses had to tell him that if you let them people, you destroy them. That's what they're going to say. So all praises to the Most High for the promise that he gave Abraham. And that's the only reason there's a remnant, because of Abraham.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, and you'll, you know, you can't put him in remembrance if you don't study to show yourself approved, if you don't
that's
get into this. Need to get in this word to, you know, because if you don't know, you know, you can't put the Most High or put HaMashiach in remembrance of what the word says. He knows it, but wants to make sure, see how well you know it.
Let me ask y'all something. Am I tripping? Anybody who really studies and knows the word, their eyes should become open. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Let me say it again. Their what?
Well, I just was thinking that.
You said their something should become open. I didn't hear the word.
Their eyes should come open. See, you're
okay,
saying what you're saying.
Yeah,
I like what you're saying. And if you really study. But I'm saying to myself, if there's, because there's people that read the Bible and don't understand a little bit here, a little bit there, line upon line, precept upon precept. So they don't really study. They don't know how to study. But to me, what you said is very true, because I think that if you really pray to the Father and say, open my eyes, show me this word, and start to really study it, I think you'll grow and wake up and come into the knowledge of this truth. I mean, what say you guys?
I totally agree with that.
Totally
right.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, you know, but the problem with a lot of our people is that when the Most High begins to open their eyes, You see, they don't want to accept it. They want to accept what they've been taught through religion. So if it doesn't fit the criteria of religion, then they will deny that, you see. And so, and that has to do with being humble. See, they're not humble.
Right.
See,
right.
Because they
right.
want it
right.
to be the way that they've been taught or the
right.
way that they, you know, everybody else is doing, you know. And
right.
so it takes humility and humbleness to accept that what the Bible says, you know, that we are the people, we're going to be on top, everybody else is going to be our servant, and that's the problem right there. We can't accept the fact that, you know, other nations are going to be our servant, and we're going to be on top, to where
right.
before that, they had no problem being the servant and other people being on head, you
right.
see. But when you flip
mm-hmm.
the script, they have a problem with that because they want
right.
to hold hands with our oppressors. And the Most High says, no,
that's
not going down like that.
Right. Right, right. They do not realize the programming and conditioning that has been put upon them to want to be
mm-hmm.
so accepting of every nation and their ways. And I like how you said it, because I've dealt with that, where somebody had
mm-hmm.
seen the truth. Somebody close to me saw the truth, read it, but refused to receive. It's like, nah, I just can't accept that. I just can't accept
right.
that we're the people. I can accept some of the other stuff, but I just can't accept
mm-hmm.
that we the Jews. We the Hebrews. I just can't deal with that.
Right.
And so you're absolutely right, and it's a matter of pride, because I know a lot of pastors too, and they don't
mm-hmm.
want to lose their congregations. They don't want to lose that paycheck. And
mm-hmm.
they don't
want
to have to step
mm-hmm.
down and humble themselves, because if you got a pastor that's been preaching for 30, 40 years every Sunday, then he comes to the knowledge of truth. Technically, that man
mm-hmm.
needs to step down from his congregation for a while and be instructed by a teacher that can help
mm-hmm.
him to understand and reteach what he's been preaching for years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel.
Yeah. But, Brother V, you know how
mm-hmm.
it is. That's a daunting task for them, like you said. The money and everything else, I mean, they're going to come in their church and say, you know what, we've been doing this wrong. We got to start having our worship on Saturday. And, you know, and they'll be running to the exits or whatnot. And he doesn't want to lose that congregation. But the deal is, what's more important to you? You know,
mm-hmm.
the Most High, his commandments, and what he wants us to do, or this flock of people that don't want to come into the truth.
Right. And, see, and another thing
go
too.
Ahead,
I don't mean to cut you off, but another
no,
thing too, they always like to run to like the scripture in Galatians 3:28, you know, when it talked about there was neither Jew nor Greek, there was neither bond nor free.
That's right.
There was neither male nor female, for
that's
you
right.
are all one in
uh-huh.
Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay, and in a sense that is true. We're
yeah.
all one in that body, whether we're going to be on top and our service is going to be in Christ too. That is not an argument to fight, okay? But what they fail to realize, within that body, it's still going to be a head and it's still going to be someone on the bottom.
Yeah,
and the best way to describe it is, if you have an organization, right? In that organization, everybody's one. Meaning what? You have the same outlook, the same frame of mind to accomplish your mission for that company, you see. But within that company, you still have a CEO, you still got a president,
yeah.
vice president, manager, district manager. You still have all the different positions within that same body of organization. So together, you're one, yes. But somebody still got to be the leader. You still got to have roles in different positions in that body. And so even the apostles have the same question. Like, if you read in Romans 3, in verse 1, they ask, well, what advantage then has there to be a Jew? Or what
yeah.
benefit is there to be circumcised? You see? And then if you keep reading, it said, in much every way, because that unto them which were committed to oracles of God. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you right there, yes, everybody is one in the body, but it says here there is an advantage to being a Jew because the oracle is given to you. Meaning what?
Yes.
You are going to be the light to the world, you see.
Right.
You're going to be the
right.
ambassador to the world. in the name of HaMashiach, you see? And so they tend to forget that aspect because everybody want to be one. But yet here it is, nobody has a problem with the oppressor being on top, murdering us, raping, castration, slavery.
That's right.
I mean, all this bad stuff they've done, they don't have a problem with that because we're all going to be one in the kingdom. So you mean they get to commit wickedness in this world, but the world to come we're all equal? That makes no sense. You know?
So that's
the problem that our people have. And like Brother B was saying, you know, our people have been so conditioned and trained to believe the false doctrine of religion.
You said exactly what I was going to say, Brother V. I mean, Mr. Brother Tiari. It's crystal clear to them that any operation, any organization needs some order. You've got the person at the top, and then you got people who work for them. It needs order. But being that they realize that we're the ones, just like you said, are going to be on the top, you know, they don't want to see that. They don't want to see that there's going to be an order with Hebrews on top. They don't want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
They can't.
You still there, Brother D?
I'm still here. I was just confirming what Brother Tiari said. Like I said, they just can't. They can't get with that, especially knowing that we're going to be on the top. They just can't. They've had that position for so long. They can't believe there's anything else out there that might change that position and put us on top.
You know, I think we're getting ready to wake up and come away. It's happening all over the world right now that these people are being recognized as colonizers and the oppression that they have put upon the melanated man. And people are starting to shake themselves and accept it. I like the scripture that Brother Tiari brought out, that we're all one, and he explained it perfectly. My feet and my arms and my hands and my head are all one. You know, but my head is running things on top, telling the feet where to move and what needs to happen. And then you go right back to Romans 1:16, and you got Paul saying, it is the power of Yah unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And he says to the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. He says to the Jew first. This is why the Nicene Council, I personally believe, this is me talking, I'm talking like Paul. I personally believe that they knew people will not study and understand the history and foundational aspect of who we are as a people, Christ the Messiah, and they put the books that would cause more confusion, a proliferation of books that would cause more confusion, and called it the New Testament. And I say that because there are tons of epistles out there that they could have added. Peter and all the disciples wrote more epistles to each other, but they focus on Paul, which is why Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:15-16 that I don't really think you new folks should really listen to Paul too much until you understand the Torah and the Tanakh. What does that mean? That you study the law, which is what we're reading, that you know the Ten Commandments, that you know what the prophecies are, so that you know what's been fulfilled and what has not been fulfilled. Now you can talk to me about the letters, the epistles, because you have a firm understanding rooted in the Torah and the Tanakh.
Brother V, that's what's going to allow us to be ready when the HaMashiach comes back, because we know how he's supposed to come. And for these people who don't read the Bible, they listen to Pastor Porkchop, who doesn't really tell them what's going on. They're going to be fooled, just like the Bible said. If it was possible, the elect would be fooled. See, we reading this Bible, we know how he's supposed to come back. We know the prophecies that are out there, and so we're preparing ourselves.
And to add on to what Brother V was saying, a lot of churchgoers, they don't seem to understand or realize that the Apostle Paul, he was a master in the law. He taught the
law. Yes.
And his whole epistle was based off the law, you see, because he was a Pharisee. He studied the law in and out. So because, you know, they don't study and understand it, they focused on when he was talking about the law being done away with, he was talking about the law of sacrifice being done away with, but they don't teach that. They teach that all the law has been done away with. And so, so as the brother brought out earlier, you know, like, oh, well, the Most High wrote down the Ten Commandments with his own finger, and all of a sudden, you know, it's done away with? That makes no sense. You know what I mean? I mean, why would he go through that extreme, you know, and then all of a sudden it's done, it's over with, it's not anymore?
Right.
That makes no sense. But nevertheless, the Apostle Paul was a master in the law. He knew the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's why in Peter was like, man, some things he said is hard to understand. He was so eloquent. He was so, you know, just the way he's able to explain himself, man, we have a hard time. Man. We're the apostle too. You know what I mean? We walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a hard time. But we have to study Paul's letter because the way he spoke and the way he's going to bring something out, you really have to, okay, let me slow down and see what he's really saying here. And the whole time, all he was talking about was the law of sacrifice is done away with because the other Pharisees did not accept Christ. Just like the Paul at one time did not accept Christ until he went to Damascus, and then that's when he began to accept Christ and started to preach about Christ, you see? And he understood what it was meant. And that's the whole argument. When you read the whole New Testament, that was the whole argument. It was about Christ. He was the sacrifice, the final and sacrifice, meaning the end, animal sacrifice. That, if you read the whole, that was the whole argument. They will never argue about the law because the other Pharisees were accusing Apostle Paul of preaching against the law.
Right.
The law of Moses and Ten Commandments. He was like, man, if you read in the book of Acts, he talked about, no, if I am guilty of it, man, kill me right now.
Hmm.
You see? Put me to death right now. And they didn't do it. Why? Because they knew he wasn't talking against the law of Moses, the Torah. They knew he was talking about the law of sacrifice, which the Pharisees didn't want to give up. The priests didn't want to give up the Levitical priesthood. You see?
Right.
Not the whole New Testament.
Right. They wanted to stay in that position of power. And they wanted people to come to them with goats and fish. I mean, goats and doves and say, you know, atone for my sins. You know, they still wanted to hold on to the non-messianic way. And people don't realize that was happening during the most recent ascension of Christ. After this man had walked around for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
You got to post him up. Nah, he ain't Christ. We'll do the sacrifice for you. We'll handle that business. Can you believe that?
It's so crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy to us. You know what? I'm glad it's crazy to us because one of the reasons why we're in this final captivity, it's kind of like we're getting ready to go to the final separation phase of the wheat and the tare. We've been growing together. We've been learning. We've been getting this new soil. And now we're getting ready to go into the phase because there's a sifting going on in Israel right now. Judgment has come upon the church. He's judging us. And there's a sifting, but then it's going to be that separation. But there are people falling away. Somebody made a comment to my wife the other day that they're starting to see Hebrews depressed, discouraged, and giving up and going back into the world and halfway walking this walk because of all the things that are happening in the world. This dude called the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he's trying to make us look bad again. We don't do guilt by association, but he's in the press. He showed up to court and pled not guilty to tax evasion, showed up with 100 guys dressed like Power Rangers, and he's got on a Prada, his Hebrew outfit was made of Prada and tassels and beads and jewels and private limousines, you know, stuff like this. It's just getting ridiculous, but our Hebrew people are trying to find out where to put their faith, how to live, what do I do in this hour because something is happening. So I want y'all to roll with me on this because we're going to get off here in a second because I know we're getting ready to meet.
but I'm going to take this next 15 minutes to go ahead and do a little bit of straight no chaser, current events, and then we'll do a little Inspirational Wednesday and close out and encourage the people. Trust me, it's going to be quick. Sister Tamar over here shaking her head like, how you going to do that in 15
before you go, we need to when people are Hebrews around, they're looking for who should I follow, who should I listen to this book. Don't get into following people, because next thing you know, you're going to be involved with some of the same wickedness that they're involved in. Follow the book and not man.
Well, yeah, I agree with that, and I think we need to stop as Hebrews. All this the camp bashing and the fighting is a distraction. We're supposed to be putting in kingdom work. We're supposed to be building this kingdom and bringing out this truth. But we're so distracted with our own personal problems and what everybody other camp and everybody else is doing. We're not getting the work done, and we're not being a lot of the Hebrews are not being aware of the time prophetically of what's transpiring. There's so much that is being staged around us right now that every now and then we have to do something like this where we say, stop, look, do you see this? Now, what should you be doing? And you're right, Brother D. One is like, you know, well, when you say fallen man running from these camp to camp to camp, well, you know, listen, I'll be honest with you. I think you may have said this, T.R.A. A lot of us, when we came to the truth, we watched all these various camps on YouTube, and that's what helped us. And we studied, and then we grew into the knowledge of the word ourselves, and we saw things that we didn't like. We heard things we didn't like. And the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher, began to show us what was right. And that's what we rely upon. But unfortunately, a lot of our Hebrews don't have that foundational aspect, that fortitude, the ability to do those things. And they stay stuck right there because they're in that Christian religious mindset that I'm doing enough. If I'm coming out on Saturday and I listen to the Bible class on Wednesday, I've done my part. So they're falling right back into the same religious mindset and not paying attention to what's happening in the world. I say that to say this. Check this out. Kanye West said slavery was a choice. He ain't lying. Based upon Deuteronomy 28 chapter, the blessings and the curses. Choose ye this day who ye will serve. We as a nation of people chose to be like the other nations, and that's why we ended up into slavery, which is clearly described in the latter part of Deuteronomy 28. Is it not, gentlemen?
It is. You know, I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're absolutely right. It was a choice. Instead of following the Most High and sticking with those commandments, we decided to go the other way. So not that I want to praise Kanye, because he really don't know what he's talking about. His words aren't coming from this book. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. No, his words aren't coming from the book, but he's a pawn in this game. This is what, and I'm let me qualify this so that you can comment on it. Him and Donald Trump are all being used, even the Third World War, to get us back home, to get the Messiah to come home, to come back. Mm-hmm. And what people don't see prophetically is that Donald Trump is being used by the Most High to set the stage for the raising up of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about Donald Trump can't stand the FBI, I'm going to give you an example. He keeps changing the FBI leader. They write books against him. He's fighting them. He's giving the FBI so much fits that they put on the back burner black identity extremists. They're still doing it, but Donald Trump is fighting against them. I'm not praising Trump. We have to realize that God is using people to do things. Let's not even forget that he hardened Pharaoh's heart for a moment to let us go. And when he took the hardener off his heart, Pharaoh said, what the hell did I just do? Start chasing us and died in the Red Sea. So the Most High is in control and in charge at all times, is what I really feel, because a lot of people don't like Trump, same thing. But he is attacking a lot of the mechanisms that are attacking our black and brown melanated people. He's coming against those things. And see, there has to be a foundation, a substratum set that we're going to, like, all of a sudden, because they're getting ready to come after us. We're going into Jacob's trouble. But the focus and attention is going to be on us. But some of these, I believe, and I'm going to open it up for you guys to comment, I believe some of these systems and peoples and platforms and agencies
have to be dealt with and put in place by the Most High through people using them, governments and everything. I mean, because all of a sudden you got Korea shooting bombs at Guam. They fired one off, hit Guam, firing them up in the air every day. Then you wake up one day, it's all over. We was just playing South Korea, North Korea. We're getting back together, and we're going to – I mean, you have to look at the prophetic pieces, because last year, 6 months ago, we was like, oh, man, we're going to go to war with North Korea. Boy, it's about to be the World War III. It's about to be the end. Then y'all woke up talking about, what happened? Cecil, mm-hmm. Are you correctly looking at prophecy? Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're into this word and you're reading, you know, this doesn't bother you, because all you see is, okay, we're getting closer and closer to getting back to our home, because see, that's what this whole book is about. This whole world and everything else is about Yah's people, and getting, just like you say, getting them back to where they're supposed to be at.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's all part of last day prophecies. Because Donald Trump, he knows who we are. You know. All these people, and I mean our people, who come out and say these things, they know who they are too, as a people.
Yes.
You see, because they have to do without excuse, you know.
Yes.
So they don't get a free ride or a free case into the kingdom, and so that's why they do what they do, because they're very, very aware of it, so that so there'll be no excuse for them, you know. But in this last day, it also talks about how, you know, some of the things, how Babylon will fall. And so some of these within their own kingdom, you know, they're going to be divided, you see. And it kind of talks about that in Revelation, I think in Revelation 18, when it talked about Revelation 18, in verse 8, it says, therefore shall her pleasures come in one day, death and mourning, famine, and she shall utterly burn with fire, for as strong is the Most High Yah who judged her. And so we can see all these things happen on the earth, because the Most High is judging this earth and the kingdom, right? In verse 9, it says, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Stand afar off, for the fear of her torment. Says, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And so, we can just see how in these last days we see it happen right before our eyes. I mean, we can see the writing on the wall, how this government, how this Babylon, which is a worldwide system, not just the United States, it's falling. You see, and they're divided in many, many ways, especially, you know, United States being the world leader, it's divided, and it can't stand when it's divided. And so we can see this prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes.
Yeah, this, I just read today, I think my wife was showing me how over in Iran, they're burning American flags, and their anger towards America is intensifying.
Mm-hmm.
And by Tuesday of this coming week, Donald Trump is getting ready to make a decision on what he's going to do about the sanctions against Iran, because they're going ahead and they're moving towards Iran. Mm-hmm. And the Bible has already warned us about stirring up the Medes. And you better believe Iran is prepared. Now, I will give this information to the Hebrews. Iran knows who we are, because Ahmadinejad has gotten up and chastised the United Nations for what they've done to us as slaves. And then outside of that, if something happens next week where Trump decides not to go with the sanctions but to start war with Iran, you better believe that something's going to hit Babylon, America, and this place will never be the same. It will never go back to being what it was. If you think in your mind and go back 10 years ago, you would never think this country would see this many school shootings, let alone this much terrorism in our so-called safe country. That entire paradigm has shifted, and you're getting ready
after this little Mother's Day holiday, because y'all going to be asleep out there eating dinner and buying mother's gifts, on Tuesday, they're either going to run or put the highest, most stringent sanctions on Iran that any country has ever witnessed. And Iran is going to react. We're so much at the end and so close that we don't recognize it. But I also say that's why I said what I said. Trump is being used to further Bible prophecy to position us to get ready to go into the wilderness. And that's where we are. And clowns like West, who's a clown, they got him on drugs and everything. He actually told the people, you're still slaves in your mind, and this world is programming your mind, and you're all asleep.
That's right.
That is not a lie. He's telling the truth. And it's causing the world to scratch their heads and say, what is really going on in this world? And they're scared.
Right, right.
You are
right.
So right about everybody knowing who we are, and they're petrified. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 10 and 26 says that if we willfully sin, what remains but indignation, a fear of judgment that's coming? Okay, they know that they willfully, as colonized, have done a lot of bad things to every nation on this earth. There's a fearful looking for of indignation and judgment on that particular race, and they know it's coming, which is why they fear us as a people who are waking up and galvanizing. And you hear these thoughts, these commentaries. It's just prophetic, and the Most High is raising up inside of us. And, you know, one story I was going to talk about on Straight No Chasers, you got this white lady, and her name is a white lady back in New York running for governor. She said, I figured out a way to give these black people reparations. Why don't we just go ahead and legalize weed stores in New York and give them some weed stores, keep them high? What I saw from that, I saw that, I'm going to tell you her name in a second. What I got from that, Brother D, is that, first of all, they know they owe us. Second of all, give a nigga some drink and some weed, and he'll forget that we owe him. This is what we're dealing with. And we deal with these people. They know that they're going to have to pay for what they've done. But if we remain ignorant and take whatever they give to us, then we will destroy ourselves.
Keep your eyes on the prize and realize that the Most High says we'll come out as captivity with great substance. That's where our reparations are going to be at.
I like that.
And see, I like that. And I also noticed too. I will say this. They are a crafty people, man. They are very crafty.
They are.
And one of the most, I have to say, one of the most brilliant military strategies that they've been using for the past 10 years that they've been pushing so hard, because you see, you have to understand, in religion they don't teach nation, they only teach religion. They don't teach how we're different people according to the Bible. You see,
and
they push so much about being equal. As we talked about earlier today, we're all one, and it doesn't matter. And one of the most brilliant military strategies is the swirling movement, you see. Because if we're divided, they have to continue to divide and conquer. And they know they can't just keep shooting us and doing all this thing, because that actually helped unite us to fight against that evil, you see. And so what they did was, they said, okay, we can't keep doing that, because they're always going to protest or come together and bring about an awareness. But if we infiltrate with a softer kind of way, like, hey, look, you know, we're coming together now, we can all love and hold hands, and then they put that swelling agenda. And not to say that, you know, some of us did get mad outside our race because of religion, whatever, not because of, you see what I'm saying? But it seems to be pushed really hard lately, so that it can cause even more division amongst our own people, you see.
Right.
And that's where you see all this hatred and bashing and going back and forth, and yet they're just sitting back clapping their hands laughing like, man, look at these Negroes. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know,
well, you know, also, I'm sorry, go ahead, Brother Terry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it, I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, it is a very brilliant strategy, military strategy, to keep us divided and so that they can keep us on the bottom. Because if you look at how they promote in the movies and the media and TV and et cetera, which we all know about, you know, and that's how, it, unfortunately, even our own people are starting to look at that like, yeah, that is true. You see what I'm saying? Just like the other nations look at us in other countries, and they see what they show on the media, and unfortunately, our own people are falling for that same bait.
Mm-hmm.
But, and, you know, and they know that they need to keep us divided, because if we are together as a group, then, you know, the, our power, our, you know, what we do is unmatched, and they know that. The Most High knew he had to separate us. That's why he sent us in all four corners of the earth, because he knew if we're in one place and we're all together, you know, as a unit, a lot can be accomplished. And I'm just, it's sad to hear, but just, Tobias says that, you know, someone's talking there about certain Hebrews have come to the truth and then they've got discouraged and left. But at the end of the day, they act, you know, the Most High is going to prove everyone. You're either in this real or you're in this to play. And if you're in this to play and to do what the flavor of the month is, you're not going to last long, and you're not going to be of much use to him anyway.
Yeah, it's you're absolutely right. They got into it for the wrong reasons. It was a fad. They liked the fringes and the head garments, especially the women. They liked the pretty little head wraps and the colorful clothes. And we look like we all just got off the boat from Wakanda. And they want to be down with that. Is this the Passover? Yeah, we're going to turn it up. And then when a real storm, a real trial, test your relationship comes,
they
fall off, because it was zeal. Zeal is likened to a person that's on fire. And when you're on fire, you'll be on fire until you burn up and you're consumed. But I always use this analogy. Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones. So what it was doing was consuming what was on the inside, not consuming the exterior until he was no more. It was consuming all the bad stuff. It set a precedence for him. So, that's why people are getting discouraged, because they aren't truly a part of the remnant.
That's right.
You know, truth is the new gangster. You know, everybody wants to be down. I got the truth. Yeah. I know about all them herbs. I got that shea butter. You know, but they not really studying, sacrificing, fasting, praying. They not really keeping these commandments. When they make mistakes, they say whatever.
They're not dying
out of the flesh. Absolutely. So it's happening. But what did I say earlier? That's the sifting process. Guess what comes after the sifting? The separation of the wheat and tear. It's going to be a complete.
Brother V, you mentioned you know, Wakanda or whatnot. You see, our people, you know, they don't want to accept the fact that they're Hebrews and how we're supposed to be living, but they'll go and, you know, see, they were all dressed up in the African garb, they have our garb out there and everything else, but they can't accept who they really are, but they can accept, like we've been doing, other nations, trying to assimilate with other nations and be part of other nations. I mean, they were just, you saw they were dressed up, and even the, was it Free Case Raised people was out there in their purple?
Yeah.
Looking like the Isley.
It's just funny, like I said, our people are so quick to accept someone else's narrative of what's going on and what should be done, but they won't accept the truth.
Right.
Hey, brothers, it's 11:30. I hate to cut this off. It's getting good.
Yeah. Yeah, I get ready so I can get on up there.
Yeah, we got to get to the Bible class, listeners. I'm so sorry. The only reason we're cutting it off is because we're going to come to you. We may come to you live from the school today, but we're really just going in there to get some things together amongst ourselves, and then we will be broadcasting live down there. Let me comment on this, and then y'all comment on this on your final words. It was Deuteronomy 28. I only want to read the first part of Deuteronomy 28.
because those of you that want to be in here and stay in the truth, it's going. Well, let me put it like this: we need soldiers in this hour who aren't going to give up and throw in the towel. And so, those of you who've been keeping the Sabbath, keeping the commandments, it's time for you to like do what Brother D was reading earlier. Put the Most High in remembrance. If you keeping these commandments, you say, "Come on, Father, I need this because this is what you promised." Let's listen to what he promised, because we skip over this all the time. I'm not going to read all the blessings that come. I just want you to read how he said, hear how he said this in Deuteronomy 28. Go ahead.
You want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Deuteronomy 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, our Most High God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, the Most High our God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth.
Hold on. Are you on high above all nations of the earth? What do I mean? Are you, you should be like probably, and don't say because we're under the curses you don't have this. The Most High will bless you with a business and have other nations working for you. Make you a supervisor. Make you a boss. Make them reverence and respect. Let me show you some more. Read the rest.
Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Most High.
Whether you like it or not, these blessings are going to come on you and overtake you if you're keeping the Sabbath, the Passover, the holy days, wearing your head coverings, wearing your fringes, changing your eating style, coming back to the law, culture. Something's going to overtake you and it's going to be blessings. If you're struggling, it's because you're struggling with the commandments, the laws. You're not keeping it. If you're inconsistent, you have to be consistent with it too. You can't keep it 1 week, then not keep it next week, then keep it 1 week, then not keep it next week. That takes us back to Hebrews, the 10th chapter I just read. If you willfully sin, there remaineth no more repentance for sin. Nothing. You're not looking for nothing but judgment because you willfully sinning. When you stop willfully sinning, you have come into the truth. You get baptized, and every day you're fighting to keep these commandments, learn them, and do them. You got some more you want to read there?
Verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kin, and the flocks of thy sheep.
You know, that's pretty good. It's talking about he'll bless your business. He'll blow up your business. He'll bless your children. He'll make sure they're healthy. He'll make sure your car has gas. It's running. It ain't breaking down all the time. All these things. We as believers who are keeping these commandments, let's stop waiting for the Sabbath to take a deep breath. Every day we need to be acting like we are part of the 144,000 and commanding the blessings to come on our life, our children's lives. And he said that when these blessings come on you, other nations are going to fear you. Did you read
right,
that, Jack?
Let me read that.
Oh, read that.
Blessed shall be the basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Most High said, The Most High shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face.
If you keep the commandments, your enemies, they're going to come back to you. You're going to see it. They're going to be smitten. You don't have to say nothing. Just keep the commandments or die trying, like the brother say. You got another one?
It says, they shall come out against thee one way and flee from before thee seven ways. The Most High shall command the blessing upon thee in the storehouses and in all that thou sittest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Most High has given thee.
The Most High shall bless, command a blessing to come upon thee in the storehouses. Mm-hmm. That means you're going to get a hookup. He's going to take care of you. You're going to get double for nothing. I'm telling you, you're not focusing on who you are now. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are the ambassador, and these nations fear you. That's why when you walk in, they're looking at you sideways, looking at you funny. They either want to be around you or they can't stand you, because the Most High has owned you because you're keeping the blueprint he gave with his own finger, the commandments. You got another one you want to read?
The Most High shall establish thee in a holy place unto himself, that he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Most High God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see thee. Thou art called by the name of the Most High, and they shall be afraid of thee.
Mm.
Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruits of thy body, in the fruits of the cattle, in the fruits of the ground, in the land which the Most High sware unto thy fathers to give thee.
There you go. It's supposed to be going down.
I mean, brothers, we keeping the commandments. It's supposed to be going down. And stop. We got to stop reacting to the people that want to do us wrong and they hate us, because he said they're going to be afraid of us. Fear make people do crazy things to you and towards you. Now you know why. I'm done. I want to get ready to close out. Brothers, I'm coming to you. Deacon Abiram, any final words?
I'm just looking forward to the fellowship. And I want the rest of the brothers and sisters to enjoy their Shabbat today. Like I said, we look forward to that every week. Because just like you said, if we're obeying the Shabbat, we're following the commandments, we're eating right, then the Most High will bless us.
All praises. Akhtiari.
Praises.
Yes, I just want to say, hey, this is not an easy walk. The Most High said it wasn't going to be easy, but, you know, like you said, keep the commandments. So if we keep the commandments and live or die trying, and keep the faith.
All praises to the Most High. So I'm going to see you, brother, down here in Oakland. We're headed down to the school. We'll have a lesson at 1 o'clock, and we'll probably be coming from down there. We're at the Kaiser Building. As I said, you can email me, but moving forward next week, we'll be bringing people into the class and be invited to the class. You enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. And I'm going to close out by saying what I always say, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey, not a destination. Kwam Yasha Allah, Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth.
Another risk.